You are now listening to Jess's Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Jess's Lit. We have finally finished our second semester of winter. It's been a long ride, and I would say that my third year was really enjoyable, but for some reason it went by super fast. And I wasn't the only one who said that. And comparing the first semester of third year to the semester now, I definitely do feel like the semester now just went by way, way too quick. Just starting off class felt like yesterday. And so overall, for me, I think it went pretty well. I hope it went good for you guys too. Now we just have finals left. And a lot of my friends are just in the library studying for finals, and so please grind out until the very end of finals, and I'm sure everything will be good. I only have one final. I'm taking five courses at the moment, and just one course has a final, and it's a language course. And so for me, I guess I was a little fortunate in terms of final selections, but because I know people who have just tons and tons of finals. And so I guess for me, it was just more of projects and papers that were due at the very end of class, which was yesterday. And so the past few days for me was very, very tiring. I only got a couple hours of sleep. And so now that's all done. I'm just looking forward to summer. I hope that you guys have a good plan or just fun plans up ahead for summer as well. But overall, I'm happy that I am done my third year. Today we will again continue off with Shakespeare's sonnets. We left off at sonnet 8 last episode, and so we'll start off from sonnet 8. I have several sonnets to kind of go over, and so we'll do that. And of course, I have some songs that I do want to play, but that will come after the sonnet 8s, the sonnet analyses. But other than that, I think that's basically what we'll be doing today. And so before we start with the poems, I'll play some ads, show promos, and PSAs to kind of get things started, and then we'll be right back after those. Here we go.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours.
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we.
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for newly found llama obsession.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You know, you need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bethy Creston Presents Radio Show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Bethy Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read. Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local Indigenous business run by Tsimshian entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the Indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone, and we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
And welcome back to Justice Lit. Those were some ads, show promos, and PSAs. Okay, now we're going to get into the sonnets. We'll start off with Sonnet 8. Music to hear. Well, before I start, for those of you guys who kind of missed out on the previous poems, from Sonnets 1 to, I think, 16, there's a very, very big emphasis on the importance of procreation and the reproduction of the blood lineage. And so I know that's very, very broad, but Shakespeare really emphasizes that in order to preserve and maintain humanity and beauty is to procreate and to love. And so we are at the stage of the poems where a lot of the poems, I mentioned this before, but the main idea of the poem is basically the same, but the way Shakespeare writes and the way he conveys the same important message is so different and so diverse. And that's one of the reasons why I just love him and love the poems he has written. And so just kind of keep that in mind. I think it'll kind of help have a grasp in just what this all kind of means when we read. But yeah, basically, it's about the importance of procreation and preserving the beauty of blood and the general entity of a human. So Sonnet 8. Music to hear, why hearst thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets war not, joy delights in joy. Why lovest thou that which love receivest not gladly, or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy? If the true concord of well-tuned sounds, by unisons married, do offend thine ear, They do but sweetly child thee, who confounds. In singleness the parts that thou shouldst bear, mark how one string, sweet husband to another, strikes each and each by mutual ordering, resembling sire and child and happy mother, who all in one pleasing note to sing, whose speechless song, being many, seeming one, sings this to thee, thou single wilt prove none. Now that was Sonnet 8 that I just read. You could kind of see and hear the metaphor of music and harmony. The metaphor of music and harmony is being used to, in a sense, argue that the young man's refusal to procreate can disrupt and is disrupting the natural order. Shakespeare very explicitly and implicitly at times emphasizes the natural order and tells us that it is natural to procreate and reproduce offspring. And so just like how the discord in music can spoil harmony, he's kind of elaborating on that by using the metaphors of music and harmony. And so close reading here, if we take a look at lines 1 to 4, there's a bit of a paradox of sadness in the joyful music. And so if I were to read it one more time, lines 1 to 4, music to hear, why hearest thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets war not, joy delights in joy. Why lovest thou that which thou receivest not gladly, or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy? So there's a little contrast here. Let's, for example, music to hear. Now the speaker here addresses that the young man is someone who is music to hear. And that, in a sense, implies that he's beautiful, harmonious, and just naturally meant for joy, the emotional aspect of joy. And the phrase here, why hearest thou music sadly? Why do you hear music so sadly? It's a paradox here. If music is a source of pleasure, why does the man react with sorrow, with sadness? Well, to me, this, in a sense, suggests that there's an inner conflict, that the young man, he resists joy, much like how he resists the very act of procreation and love. And so there's a paradox in this phrase. And when we get to the phrase, sweets with sweets war not, joy delights in joy, I interpret this as sweet things do not fight with each other, and joy naturally aligns with more joy. And this implies that the young man's sadness is unnatural because he is resisting something that is natural, which is procreation. And that procreation should bring him happiness. And so it really matches up here. The phrase, why lovest thou that which thou received not gladly? It's a questioning of why the young man enjoys something that he is also simultaneously finding painful. Why lovest thou that which thou receivest not gladly? Why do you enjoy something that you also find painful? So this kind of reinforces the idea of inner turmoil. Or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy. Here we're presented with another paradox. Does he take pleasure in his own suffering? Does he? It's a question that we should think about. And this implication here is significant because his resistance to love and procreation and family is seen to be unnatural and is self-inflicted. Moving on to lines 5 to 8, if the true concord of well-tuned sounds. Now, the concord here means harmony, and well-tuned sounds, the phrase well-tuned sounds, in a sense suggests that the musical notes are working together. Now, this represents the ideal harmony of family and generational continuity. By unions married, this phrase is about marriage, and is explicitly refers to as a metaphor for musical harmony. By unions married. And it reinforces the idea that love and family can create a natural and pleasing order. Now the phrase, do offend thine ear, do offend thine ear, that's in line 6 here. Now, if the harmonious music bothers the ear, then there's something fundamentally wrong with this perspective. Now, that's what I get from this. Now, by unions married, as the metaphor for musical harmony, so if there is musical harmony, yet that offends you, in a sense, as the interpretation of the poem, something offends you that is supposed to be natural. So that we could kind of think about. And then moving on to line 7, they do but sweetly chide thee. Now, the music isn't attacking him. It's not offending him, but rather gently just kind of scolds him for disrupting the harmony by refusing to marry and have children. They do offend, but not sweet chide thee, who confounds in singleness the parts that thou shouldn't bear. So he is meant to contribute to the harmony of life by taking part in relationships and procreation, but because of his selfishness, his singleness, as it's quoted here, singleness, it just kind of disrupts the quote-unquote natural order. From 9 to 12, lines 9 to 12, we see the family as a musical chord. So line 9, mark how one string, sweet husband to another. Here, the musical strings represent the marital union. And it suggests that the relationships are like the melodies that are intertwined together. Line 10, strikes each and each by mutual ordering. The harmonious interaction of musical notes here. And yeah, I think that's what this is kind of portraying. If we move on, resembling sire and child of and happy mother. There's a bit of imagery here, and it kind of shifts to a family structure where the father, sire, and the mother and the child form a unit. They form in unison, just like how musical harmony does. And who all in one pleasing note do sing. Now, this is basically talking about the unified family and how that unified family is like a harmonious musical chord. Many parts working together as one, just like how musical chords do and a family does. Now, when we move on to the final couplet, here, like the ones we've read so far, is kind of like the warning and consequences of remaining alone and not procreating. So when I read, whose speechless song, being many seeming one, sings this to thee, thou single wilt prove none. So whose speechless song, being many seeming one? Now, music has no words, but the message of it is very clear. And because the reason why it's clear is because it's in unity, and it creates something that's, in a sense, greater than just the sum of its parts. And thou single will prove none, the strongest warning, comes in the very last line of the poem. And so if it's basically saying if the man remains single and childless, he will amount to nothing. Nothing will be proven with just being alone. And his legacy will never be proven, his legacy will never be maintained, and everything that he was and is will be faded without any harmony and continuation. That's a very a very compelling poem here. But I just love how, again, he structures the poem very differently, yet the main message always stays clear to the same. And so that was Sonnet 8 by Shakespeare. We'll move on to Sonnet 9, or actually, before we move on to Sonnet 9, I will play some songs that I have chosen for you guys for today, and kind of take a break from the sonnets and come back after the music. The songs I'll play today are from Kaylee Cardinal. I kind of got into her a couple days ago, actually. Just I was browsing around songs from Indigenous folks, and Kaylee Cardinal kind of popped up. I took a listen to her, and they were good, soothing hits. And so I'll play you guys two songs from her before we get into Sonnet 9. First song is called Boundless Possibilities, featuring Matthew Cardinal. And the second song is called Every Day. And so both of these songs are from Kaylee Cardinal. We'll give these two a listen. Here we go.
Without leaving you. like morning arises whether or not I have slept. Time is erasing the memories that I don't wanna forget. And every day that turns to a night takes me further from you. As every new season arrives, it's getting harder to feel you. But both can be true. I'm leaving this feeling without leaving you.
Welcome back. You just finished listening to Boundless Possibilities and Every Day. Now we'll get right into Sonnet 9. Is it for fear to wet a widow's eye that thou consumest thyself in single life? Ah, if those issueless shalt hap to die, the world will wail thee like a makeless wife. The world will be thy widow and still weep that thou no form of thee has never behind, when every private widow well may keep by children's eyes her husband's shapes and mind. Look what an unthrift in the world doth spend, shifts but his place, for still the world enjoys it, but beauty's waste hath in the world an end, and kept unused the user so destroys it. No love toward others in that bosom sits that on himself such murderous shame commits. Okay, Sonnet 9. Let's dissect it line by line. So lines 1 and 2, is it for fear to wed a widow's eye that thou consumest thyself in single life? Now, there's a lot of repetitions of widow, and basically the speaker opens up with a rhetorical question, suggesting that the young man's refusal to marry, is it driven by a fear of causing grief? In specifically making a woman a widow, is this gently, in a sense, it's a little ironic here because he avoids love to avoid pain, but in doing so, the speaker suggests that he causes a deeper and more lasting kind of loss. And the consumest thyself invokes both a wasting away and self-absorption. So it's kind of narcissistic, and a narcissistic decaying. And yeah, that's basically what I kind of get here. And lines 3 and 4 here, a personal fear of grief turns into or expands into a collective mourning. And so issueless, that's a significant word. So if the young man dies issueless, without children, the entire world will grieve, like a widow who had no children to carry her husband's memory. So makeless is a significant word here too. And Shakespeare often personifies the world in these sonnets. And the world here gives off the emotional agency. And this is kind of seen in the young man's loss. And it's not just personal, but cultural, which is interesting. And the lines 5 to 6, the world will be thy widow and still weep, that thou no form of thee hast not left behind. Now, again, the repetition of widow kind of deepens the emotional perception of what a widow is. And the world, like a bereft spouse, will weep endlessly because the young man had just left no trace of himself. No form of thee is what the poem says, and the form as in children. Or not the form exactly, but just no form of him, of thee. So he just has not left any traces of him in the world. And the form here can mean both physical and the essence. And yeah, I think that's all for that one. I think it also suggests that something essential about the young man will vanish, hence why the importance of procreation is being emphasized here. Line 7 and 8, when every private widow well may keep by child's eyes her husband's shape in mind, is a bit of a contrast here. Ordinary widows have children to preserve the quote-unquote shape, which is the memory and likeness of their lost husbands. Yeah. The private and public kind of resonate here. Where the man's beauty is almost public property and is meant to be shared, preserved, and honored. Which is interesting. Now, the poem implicitly argues that beauty also comes with responsibility, which is interesting as well. Lines 9 to 10. Look what an unthrift in the world doth spend, shifts but his place, for still the world enjoys it. Now, the word look here kind of signals a new metaphor of economic waste. An unthrift, a spendthrift, may waste resources, but those resources remain in circulation. Now, the young man is kind of hoarding his beauty rather than investing it by creating life. And so, yeah, the economic and moral values are definitely tied to social contribution, at least in Shakespeare's time of the Renaissance. Lines 11 to 12, but beauty's waste hath in the world an end, and kept unused, the user so destroys it. Now here, it's in a sense saying that beauty is finite, unlike money or objects or goods, where if you just kind of waste it, it won't exist. And to keep it unused, quote-unquote unused, unused meaning unshared, unpassed on, the user, so the young man, becomes his own destroyer. Yeah. So basically the young man is killing himself by not procreating and spreading his genes. Selfishness becomes a form of murdering the self, is what I get here. Now, the final couplets 13 to 14... No love toward others in that bosom sits, that on himself such murderous shame commits. Now, it's a moral judgment, and the young man is being, in a sense, accused of murderous shame. Not literal murder, but just a spiritual and the generational self-extinction. is what he's being accused of. And so he's seen as being deeply shameful. The bosom is emphasized as the heart, the seat of emotion. And instead of that, instead of love being there, there's selfishness and pride. And so that's kind of significant in this couplet. But yeah, that was Sonnet 9. Again, very similar meanings, but conveyed in a very, very different and interesting manner. Before we move on to Sonnet 10, I'll play you three songs from, of course, Kaylee Cardinal, and then we'll get right back to Sonnet 10. Here we go.
Interest, but I spent my life ducking the bouquet at every wedding banquet. My heart goes out to you, the one that love has made a fool. You see someone else when you're looking at me. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't care about superstition or astrology. Sense of relief.
Nobody's waiting up for me. No expectations I didn't meet. Some folks may think it's lonely, but they really just don't know. It's worse to be with someone and feel just as alone. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't care about superstition or a mess but my own. I don't want to explain myself for being on my phone. And when I fall in love, it won't change what I believe. I don't need anyone to complete me. You can give your love and still be free. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't care about superstition or astrology. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't tell me you'll wait. Don't waste your love on me. Suffocated from your touch, now I wonder, did I take for granted your I used to savor choosing the sweetest fruits for you. And now it's a race just to eat them before they wake. It's a good lesson in man to cut every recipe in half, and that's how I learned to live alone. You brought joy
Welcome back. You have just listened to Just Let Me Lie to You, Don't Waste Your Love on Me, and How I Learned to Live Alone. Due to the time, I will only just read Sonnet 10 for you guys, and then next episode we will start off by analyzing Sonnet 10. Now, what I will tell you is Sonnet 10 is the direct continuation of the arguments in Sonnet 9. And so I'll give this one a read. For shame deny that thou bearest love to any who for thyself art so unprovident. Grant, if thou wilt, thou art beloved of many, but that thou none lovest is most evident. For thou art so possessed with murderous hate, that gainst thyself thou stickest not to conspire, seeking that beauteous roof to ruinate, which to repair thou be thy chief desire. O change thy thought, that I may change my mind, shall hate be fairer lodged than gentle love. Be as thy presence is, gracious and kind, or to thyself at least kind-hearted prove. Make thee another self for love of me, that beauty still may live in thine or thee. That is Sonnet 10. Meditate on that a little bit, and we will get into the analysis's next episode. Now, we're already done for today. It's a beautiful day out today. It was pouring rain last night and yesterday, but I'm glad to see the sun kind of creeping in. The weather is getting kind of warmer now, which is an indication that spring and summer, well, summer is coming, which I am very excited about. But other than that, yeah, that's basically it for today. I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the week, and I will see you guys again next week with more Shakespeare and more songs. Again, if you guys, I mention this all the time, but just to say again, if you guys want any other stuff or content that you want me to go over in terms of poetry or songs or anything else, or even just book reviews maybe, please feel free to let me know. I'm always available, and yeah, just email me at leejess2002@gmail.com or text me at 604-512-0020, and that's where to reach me at. And so if you guys have any suggestions or any wants that you want me to do, just please feel free to reach out, and I will happily do it, because I enjoy it as well. But yeah, have a good rest of your week, guys, and I will see you guys again next week with another episode. Thank you all. Bye-bye.